This is Archer of Archer.com. Today is, what is today, honey?
October the 3rd.
Saturday, October 3rd, 2009. And here's a rare treat you haven't had in a while. The boyfriend's here. Say hi, boyfriend.
Hi, boyfriend.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
What are you doing?
I'm eating dinner.
What are you eating?
Asparagus.
Asparagus?
Yeah, try one.
No, yuck. I bought that for
buy
you.
Buy it.
No, honey.
Eat it.
Honey, stop.
You bought it, you eat
honey,
it.
I'm not eating that. So, we're recording this on the iPod Nano, so I don't know how well it's going to pick up the boyfriend's voice, because you know he speaks so low, so quiet.
Well, I can tell you, it is a lovely evening here in Virginia.
And
it we're on Archer's balcony, looking at the prettiest sunset, and the largest moon you will find.
It was a harvest moon, and you can check out a video of the harvest moon on Archer.com, because I shot a little video before we recorded this podcast.
We're having a very nice Cabernet Franc.
Yes. I just finished my Glen Manor one. You want to pour me some Grey Ghost one?
Yes. It's going now, very well.
Every time we tap on the table, they're going to hear it because...
I know. Good. Excellent.
They're not going to hear. I don't think they're going to hear that. All right. Oh, look how... That's really clear, honey.
Well, this is a lighter body. This is more of a Chenin-style Cabernet Franc. But as I said, I put peppercorns and herbs on my filet. And I think it's going quite well with
that.
Filet's a lean.
I cut off a tenderloin.
Well, what that active imagination saw as fat. Because I have it here in my plate. But it's a lean cut of meat. And so I put herbs and cracked pepper. And I think I said before, I would have like a Loire Valley red wine, which is Cabernet Franc, with like a Mediterranean style beef that's been marinated with, you know, herbs, and you kind of slice it off. It's very thin, like a London broil.
Yeah.
And so this is, I think this is...
Very nice.
Going very well. And then before that, we each had a little bit of the Glen Manor. We're wrapping up...
Yeah, we're actually, it's like...
Our wines for this weekend. We have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And this was a heavier bodied
Cabernet
Franc that was blended with Cabernet Sauvignon. So it had more of a structured, complex edge to it. And this, I think, it was fine with what we had. And I would have had even a heavier, fattier piece of meat.
Really?
Like a ribeye or something with some potatoes or gratin. This would have been perfect.
I wonder if I can... I'm going to make some noise here.
Go ahead.
And put this... Oops, see if that's going to make noise. If I can put this on top of here.
Okay.
So, because it's like your plate is in the way. Sorry for all the noise, people, but we're back. I didn't pause it or anything. Oh, you're going to shake the table and knock
it off. I know. I'm shaking things up.
So, a couple of things. Are there any politics that you wanted to comment on? Because I actually haven't been talking too much politics on my podcast. Have you been listening to my new podcast?
Yes.
Really?
Well, you don't put them on every night anymore.
I know. It's only like once or twice a week. Does that bother you?
Well, I miss hearing your voice in the middle of the week.
You could call me.
Well, you could call me.
We don't talk on the phone, honey.
I know.
That reminds me. Remind me to call Homer after this, because I
call Homer. Hi, Homer.
Because I have to call him. So no politics that you can think of that you want to discuss?
Well,
are you going to rush out and buy Sarah Palin's book?
Oh, yes. Well, what's there to talk about? I mean, it's exhausting to listen to. Conservatives say that Obama is doing too much. And it's exhausting to hear liberals say Obama isn't doing enough. And, you know, we think back to the 8 years under Bush and the horrible incompetence. And we want it all, the liberals want it all done right now with the snap of a finger. And the conservatives don't want anything done. And in fact, they're hoping Obama gets assassinated or something. And I think we all need to, well, the conservatives, who cares? Because they'll never come on board and see the need for any kind of...
For anything.
Change or anything. But, you know, I'm still... I'm very optimistic. I think health care is going to pass. Do I think health care is going to pass with a vigorous public option that's going to put the insurance industry out of business?
No.
No, that's fiction. It's not realistic.
But you did discuss... Yeah, go ahead.
Do I think a healthcare plan that maybe puts the public option, maybe a foot in the door, maybe a limited public option? You know, if you've exhausted...
For certain people, income groups?
Yes, I think something like that is going to kick in. I think it's a foot in the door. I think eventually by the time we're ready to retire, we'll have some... If this all goes through, by the time we're 55, 60, 65... I think we are going to go further along with a single-payer option, but it's not going to happen now. It's not. I mean,
and like you said, it's Obama, a foot in the door.
There's no Democrat, there's no president who's going to put the insurance industry out of business tomorrow. It's not going. They're too powerful. They control too many levers of power. It's not going to happen.
Pay these congressmen too much money.
All right, so we face that reality and think, well, okay, so if we get 80% of what we want with a limited public option or whatever is going to transpire, and it's a good foot in the door, and we continue with that. Or is it, well, it's not all that we want, and so we're just going to stay home and not be active or not vote, or we're not going to support the president or whatever. Well, fine. So let's say President Palin in 2012.
Oh, geez.
Or we're talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, where we're. You know, there are signs that is going to change, and it's going to change end of year, early next year, but it's not today. Well, you know, what do we want? Do we want to wait maybe? You know, there's a Pentagon paper that was in the Pentagon Quarterly that supports the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. There is legislation that is starting from...
Someone's introducing...
Introducing it. So there is the groundswell for it. There's the public support for it. Do we do it like that? Or do we do it like Clinton tried to do by fiat, and then it ended up disastrous?
What we have now.
I think the liberals, the Democrats who want change now, I'm willing to be patient. I think it's going to happen. It's not going to happen right now. The man's got 3.5 more years, and let's see what happens. But we have to remember, if we decide it's not what we want, and it's not what we want right now, and so we're going to stay home and pout and sulk, then you're letting President Palin, President Gingrich, a Republican Congress, and then we get nowhere. We're dead.
Yeah.
With this current group of Republican twits. So, anyway, that's
all right. You eat your dinner now, because it's getting way too really cold. Because I actually want to talk about something. excuse me, I'm still getting that phlegmy stuff from my lungs cleaning. Today we went to this winery called Veramar.
Yeah.
And on their label, they have a family crest. And on the family crest, it's got three crosses. And the lady told us at the tasting bar, because I asked, or you asked her what the crest was stood for. She told you the three crosses stand for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And you thought, oh, that must be Catholic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, here's my concern, my question.
Mm-hmm.
You know that I'm an atheist.
Yeah.
And you know that I get upset about companies that bring their religion into their business.
Mm-hmm.
Should I support them because of their religious nature on the...
Did they force you to read Bible verses?
No, but I'm buying a bottle of wine with three crosses on it.
Well, that's...
That's an endorsement of their religion.
Honey, what does it matter? Do you buy Christmas gifts every year?
Honey.
Listen to me.
We've been through this before.
Do you buy Christmas gifts?
Yes, but that's pagan.
Let's be honest. Christmas, yes, is pagan in origin, but it's celebrated as a Christian holiday. So you're not going to get around this one. Do you take Christmas break off from school, or do you go to work during the winter break?
Well, I would go to work, but everybody else is off. I can't go to school.
Would you really go to work during
the
Christmas break?
If I had to, I would.
I think you're being ridiculous. We're not going to get you will not get around the fact that religion plays a very important role in our society. Period. Whether it's pagan is still a religion. The days of the week, the months of the year, the holidays we celebrate, they're all rooted in religion. our laws are rooted in religion, whether it's Hammurabi's Code or the Ten Commandments. You're not getting around it, so deal with it. You're an atheist? Fine. These people weren't asking you to read Bible quotes. They weren't pelting you with scripture. There were no script. I didn't see any biblical quotes in any of the tasting notes. It's on their family crest because that's what's important to them as a family. Did they have crucifixes everywhere you turn? Were you being poured wine by nuns in habits who required you to say a rosary before you take? No, none of that. None of that happened. We got there, and the only reason why we asked about the crosses on the crest was because I noticed it on the family crest. But for that, you would never have known.
No, honey, I saw it too, but I didn't say anything.
You would not have known. Because it didn't factor into any of their business dealings. A family crest is, this is what our family represents.
I know.
You're buying a Christmas gift at Macy's, you're supporting
so
the Christian holiday.
So you're saying
so
I...
get over it.
Honey,
get
you're
over
being...
it.
I'm...
Your atheist values were not threatened by that winery.
I'm not saying they are, but if I don't like any show of religion, whether it be three tiny crosses on their box... Okay, he knocked that down, not me. Mm-hmm. Luckily, we're still recording.
Yeah.
So, now try not to shake the table so much, honey. My point is just this. Maybe I should hold it. Do you think I should just hold it?
Whatever you want to do.
My point is just this. If I don't want to support a business because they show their religious whatever in their label or in a saying on the side of their van or whatever. Oh, excuse me.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Then... I shouldn't have to. If I don't want to support them, I shouldn't, you know.
I'm still not understanding where you're coming from.
I don't like a business that brings their religion into their business.
They didn't bring their religion into their business. They put their family crest on their bottles of wine. Their winery has nothing to do with their religious beliefs.
Okay.
They've adopted that as their family crest.
I understand.
They put the family crest on the wine label. There were no religious artifacts.
I
there
know
was nothing
we've been through
at
that.
All. So what I want you to do
is say three Hail Marys.
This year, no, for Christmas, while we're all celebrating Christmas, you're going to go to work and pretend like it's just another work day.
Honey, but the schools are closed. I can't do that.
I'm sure Michelle will let you in.
I don't say her name.
Michelle Obama.
She'll let me into the White House.
Yeah. I think you need to get over it.
All right, I'll get over it.
Okay.
So what do you think about, what's her name? Chrissy Everett and...
Oh, Greg Norman. Chris Everett and Greg...
They're getting
know.
A divorce, honey.
They're separated.
Well, you know, that leads to divorce.
Well... I think Chris Everett gets bored with her husbands. I think she misses... I think she likes competition and competitiveness.
You were shocked on Friday night.
Well, because they were acting like googly school kids. Not shocked, but shocked that it ended this soon. But this is Chris Everett's third husband. All of her husbands have been athletes.
I know, but you said that they were below her.
Well, no. When you think of, like, athletes, like athletes as cultural icons. Chris Everett is like
way above Greg Norman.
Well, Greg Norman is like in golf. He's like an icon in the sport of golf. Chris Everett is an icon in the sport of tennis. But maybe Greg Norman is maybe a level or a half level lower than Chris Everett, who won like, you know, a million titles. You know, Greg Norman was more of a I don't know a lot about golf, but he's not necessarily a Tiger Woods. He's more of like a golf celebrity figure.
Yes.
So, you know, when you say Chris Everett in tennis, you think excellence, you know, 18 Grand Slams, 200 titles, number one for 8 years. But with Greg Norman, you think, well, the shark. So he's like always a spoiler in the golf tournaments and what have you. So... And then, like, her other husbands, one was a skier who was kind of like a third-level Olympic American skier, and then her first husband was John Lloyd, who was like number 50 in the world. I don't know. So I think she gets bored with her husbands because they don't offer much of a rivalry. I was saying.
And she should go with?
Martina.
Martina Navratilova.
Well, you know, that was her ultimate rival. Martina always kept Chris on her toes. She always had to produce her best tennis. It was the one rival she had. She never knew she was going to win or lose until she got walked out on the court.
Yeah.
So I think Chris ought to...
When she's done with Greg Norman.
Bump uglies with Martina and just declare it a match.
Pound pussies?
Yes, they should declare it a love match.
Okay.
And then they can compete in the bedroom. They can compete on the tennis courts. They can compete in the kitchen. And the loser has to submit to the winner.
All right. That sounds good. Do you hear all those cricket and cicada noises or whatever that is? Locusts?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool? Is there anything else you want to talk about, honey?
Well, what do you want to talk about?
I don't really have anything else.
Well, let's talk about...
I haven't been having much to say lately.
Well, we're out on your balcony.
Yeah, and all the herbs are dying.
The herbs are starting to die off. Our container gardens are starting to die off. You can tell fall is starting. But what will we put in the containers for the winter? I know.
Nothing.
Winter cabbage and
nebulas.
Yes.
I'm taking them inside. We're not putting anything in them.
Honey, that's not lively. That's...
I'm going to keep the grass growing. We kept that grass growing for more than a year, so I want to keep it growing.
I say winter cabbage and violas.
Nope. No winter cabbage and violas.
I'm going to call you Viola this winter.
Nuh-uh. It's Snowflake, dear.
Well, then you better put... If you want to be Snowflake and you don't want to be Viola, you better put violas out here.
What's my fall name?
I will have every listener calling you Viola.
You know what my fall name is going to be?
Out here. Pumpkin.
No, candy corn.
Candy corn?
Candy for short.
All right.
Pumpkin's fine.
Yes,
cause,
Viola.
Because the daffodils are all gone. There's no more daffodil.
No, those stopped in the spring. But I like Viola.
All right.
Yes, Viola. No, Viola.
Is there anything new in your life? Do you have any new
boyfriends? No, Viola.
Do you have any new boyfriends or anything?
No, Viola.
All right, well, I think
I love my Viola.
I do, too. I think we'll stop then.
Okay.
So, boys and girls, that's all for today. Until next time, bye. Bye. Usher Radio.